Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David, minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation around the south of 12th Hour, Liberty Hill, Texas. Today is December 16, 2017, or it is Sister 29, 2021. We will start our first service on this Sabbath day with a song entitled, When We Walk With the Yah. When we walk with the Yah in the light of His Word, for the glory He sheds on our way, let us do His good will. He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey, trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Yahshua but to trust and obey. Not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but a toil He doth richly repay. Not a grief or a loss, not a frown nor a cross, but is blessed if we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Yahshua but to trust and obey. But we never can prove the delights of His love until all on the altar we lay. For the favor He shows and the joy He bestows are for them who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Yahshua not to trust and obey. And in fellowship sweet we will sit at His feet, and we'll walk by His side in the way. What He says He will do, wherever He sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Yahshua but to trust and obey.
Hear ye the rod and who hath appointed, part 4. We're going to start now with Exodus chapter 12. Verse 1, And the Yahweh spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of the Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of the month, it shall be the first month of the year unto you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month they shall take unto them every man a lamb, according unto the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according unto the number of the souls. Every man according unto his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep and or from the goats, and you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the houses, wherein they shall eat it, and they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with the fire, and unleavened bread, and with the bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw or nor sodden at all with the water, but roast with the fire, his head with his legs, and with the putridness thereof, and ye shall be let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning you shall burn with the fire, and thus shall you eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in the haste. It is the Yahweh's That is the Yahshua's Passover, the Son. For I will pass through the land of the Egypt this night and will smite all the firstborn in the land of the Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Yahweh. And the blood shall be unto you for a token upon the houses where ye are, and when I see the blood, now keep in mind, this blood is for a token. I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. But this applies today, folks, for the United States and the whole world. Outside of the borders of the land of Israel proper is designated as the spiritual land of Egypt, or Babylon. They both are synonymous terms with each other. Verse 14, Exodus 12. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and you shall keep it a feast unto the Yahshua throughout your generations. This is the Son. You shall keep it as a feast by an ordinance forever. Alright, now where else can we find this word ordinance? Let's go to the New Testament. Let's go to Luke 22 right quick, and let's see what we can come up with there, 1 through 7. It says, now the feast of the unleavened bread drew nigh, which is called the Passover. And the chief priests and the scribes saw how they might kill him, for they feared the people. Then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being of the number of the 12, and he went his way and communed with the chief priests and captains how he might betray him unto them, and they were glad and covenanted to give him money. And he promised and sought opportunity to betray him unto them in the absence of the multitude. Then came the day of the unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed. Now the Passover is the ordinance. The lamb is the ordinance constituting, that's the Passover. And he sent, because the time that they eat it is at the holy, at the beginning of the holy hours of the 15th day, which is called the day of unleavened bread, that the Passover is eaten. And he sent Peter and John, saying, go and prepare us the Passover that we may eat. And they said unto him, where wilt thou that we prepare? So in the Old Testament, the Passover was the lamb. And in the New Testament, the Passover is still the lamb, but it is the Lamb of Yahweh, and that lamb's name, that lamb has a name. It has the name Yahshua. The lamb in the Old Testament, the physical lamb of the Old Testament, only identity he had was that he was a token of the Lamb of Yahweh that has a name, Yahshua. So there's only one name then that belongs to both lambs. One is a token, the lamb that represented Yahshua that's to come, the lamb that's slain from the foundation of the world, okay, which is Yahshua, the line of the tribe of Judah also. Luke 22:9, and they said unto him, where wilt thou that we prepare? And he said unto them, behold, when ye are entered into the city, there shall a man meet you bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house where he entereth in, and ye shall say unto the good man of the house, the master saith unto thee, where is the guest chamber? For I shall eat the Passover with my disciples. And he shall show you a large upper room furnished there make ready. And they went and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. And when the hour was come, what hour? That was the hour for it to be eaten, and that would be at the first hour, at the beginning of the 15th day of the first month, because the Passover was prepared on the 14th day in the afternoon. And when the two evenings came together, the Passover then was taken into the 15th day and eaten in the first hour of the 15th day, but it was prepared in the last 3 hours of the 14th day. And the 12 apostles with him. This is in Luke 22:15. And he said unto them, With desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of the Yahweh, the Father. Okay, now, when is that? When the kingdom comes down from heaven? Well, that's the only way it can be fulfilled in the kingdom of Yahweh here on earth. It has to come down out of heaven. And it has to be set upon in this world, here in the 12th parabolic hour, because it says when the hour was come. What hour was that? That was the first hour of the 15th day of the liturgy, but when the time for the fulfillment of this event and the antitype is in the 12th parabolic hour, and it's at the first hour of the 12th parabolic hour, because each parabolic hour gets the equivalent of 12 hours allotted for each parabolic hour in Matthew 20, verse 1 through 6, the five groups of labors that came over five different periods of time in history, representing five movements. They all had the 12-hour parabolic hours allotted to each one of those five groups of labors. And in the first hour, the early morning, Moses and the children of Israel, they had allotted three parabolical hours. And the second movement, Yahshua and the apostles at the cross, 1,500 years later, they were allotted three parabolic hours. And that was, William Miller came on the scene in 1833, the first day Adventists, they were allotted three parabolic hours. Now that's three parabolic hours allotted to three different movements, and so forth. And then when the fourth movement came at the Adventists in 1844, they were allotted two parabolic hours, the 10th and the 11th. And that last group of laborers, the one mentioned in Matthew 20, verse 6, the fifth group in Matthew 20, verse 6, then they were allotted the last hour, and that's the 12th hour. Each one of those groups, those movements, were allotted three parabolical hours, and they had 12 hours, symbolical 12 hours within those hours that was allotted to them. In other words, they all started to work early in the morning at the beginning of each one of their movements. Just like Moses did. That's why it said in Matthew 20, verse 1 through 3, early in the morning, they went out, about early in the morning, to how laborers in the vineyard, the first hour of the day. Well, same thing at the cross. They went out early in the morning to how laborers, Yahshua did, and he started hiring the disciples to work in the vineyard. And then in 1844, out early in the morning again, William Miller. Okay. And then 1844, early in the morning again, hiring the Seventh-day Adventists. Each group getting a equivalent of 12 parabolic hours to work in. And then the last one, the 12th parabolic hour, they get also an equivalent of 12 parabolic hours to work in. Because when they start their work, for the harvest, when you go out and it's time for the harvest, what time of the day do you start? You start the first hour of the day, don't you? Well, the 12th parabolic hour is set aside for the harvest of the living and the dead and those that are in their graves, from Adam clear on down to our time. So the righteous are going to come forth in this last parabolic hour. And they're going to come first, and when they come forth, they're going to come forth in their order. And then you have to go to Matthew 20 and read about the order that they come in, or that they're resurrected in. And where do you start with? Matthew 20, who do you start with? You start with the last group that worked in the vineyard. And who was that? That was the 11th hour people that worked in the 11th hour. That they actually worked in the vineyard for the sowing and to get ready for the harvest in the 12th hour. So Matthew 20, it says in verse 7, they say unto him, because no man hath hired us. Okay, verse 6, and about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing idle. This is your fifth group of laborers, and that's who we are today, working in the 12th hour. Why stand ye here all the day idle? They say unto him, because no man hath hired us. Nobody. He saith unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. So when even was come, Yahshua the vineyard saith unto his steward, Call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. Judgment of the living, and the 12th parabolic hour, the steward of the vineyard, Elijah David, he's given the command to identify the prophetic time that each one of these laborers is supposed to be resurrected to get their hire. So this information will be given to this officer of the Elijah David. And so he's given that information at the time that each one of these are to be resurrected and given their hire. Beginning from the last, 11th hour workers, Kermit, Texas, start with them, start with the Gilead Center. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour in 1970, Gilead Center was Willis Johnson. I was hired also at the 11th hour, but I came through the judgment at the end of the 11th hour, and so to take up the leadership of the work and the 12th parabolic hour, it says they received every man a penny. Every man a penny received his penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more, and they likewise received every man a penny. Who was the first? That was those of the Moses coming out of Egypt, because they were the ones that murmured and grumbled for 40 years. And they came also saying, hey, well, the thing is, though, those that murmured and grumbled that lost their salvation was not resurrected. So then who is this first thing that came? Moses, children of Israel, the first ones hired in the vineyard, all right enough. But who is this talking about here? Those that were of the 11th hour that didn't come to the judgment of the living to start the 12th hour would be Verlis Johnson and all those that didn't accept the message of the 12th hour so that they could step into it with those that had out of his congregation had stepped into it. So Yahweh gives the authority to the one that relieved Verlis Johnson and succeeded him in his ministry. And so he's the one. And so, but those that was hired first in the 11th hour, 1970, they came and they said, look, we were the leaders. We worked hard to put forth the message for 33 years. How come these people have given the commission, my commission, to work in the 12th? It's because they became sanctified through obeying the truth, and when the judgment started in 2002, they stepped into it, and they were sanctified, purified, and made white according to the truth that they lived up to, and according to their obedience for the delivering of all the messages that was given to them to give to the prophet and to give to Gilead Center. And so by their obedience in doing this, they were awarded their penny a day, eternal life. That was what was promised to Gilead Center in 1970, was that the penny a day, if they would be faithful in their ministry of working in the vineyard. But they weren't faithful. And so they lost their penny a day, and they lost their reward. They lost their eternal life. So did those that was in the wilderness in Moses' day. That was your type. They were the first ones called to work in the vineyard. Those that was called out of Egypt that rebelled at Kadesh Barnea when they got out into the wilderness of Sinai, and they rebelled at the mountain of Yahweh at Mount Horeb, which is called Mount Sinai, and they rebelled there, and so therefore they had to wander for 40 years in the wilderness, and their carcasses fell in the wilderness, and they didn't enter into the promised land, showing that they lost their eternal life back then. They were the first called into the vineyard. So likewise, in the Antitype, Rollis Johnson and Gilead Center in 1970 were the first to be called into the vineyard to start the judgment of the living. I hadn't seen this light before until tonight. Now this, because Rollis Johnson, that was his main theme in 1970. Judgment of the living. He said, we have passed out of the judgment of the dead, we are in the judgment of the living. And he said, that commission was given to me, And I was to set up and restore all the sanctuary system by an instrument called the Creation Calendar, with the name Creation Calendar. And so therefore, we have all sevens, all complete numbers, seven trumpets and the seven seals, and we have 1970 to begin this ministry, and we have the seven spirits of Yahweh. That's in Zechariah 3 and Revelation 5, and we have the seven trumpets, and we have everything seven. We're all seven. That's a perfect number, he says. That would be a sign that you have the judgment of the living message. And he was indeed given the first opportunity to put forth the judgment of the living, but it only applied to Gilead Center, the judgment of the living. They went to 33 years of judgment of the living, because they're the only ones of the Adventist movement that restored and followed the sanctuary system by keeping of all of the holy days and all the divine institutions, at least observing and teaching them. Whether they have kept them faithfully or not, that's another story. So therefore, they were the ones that grumbled when the steward of the vineyard was told to call the laborers and give them their harvest, starting with the last. And so you had to start with Gilead Center, the 11th hour workers. And it says in Matthew 20, verse 11, "And when they had received it, they murmured against the dead man of the house, saying, these last have wrought but 1 hour. So apparently, they're going to be resurrected at sometime in the 12th hour to be able to come and say, because the 12th hour workers, they have to finish their work in the 12th hour before those 11th hour workers can come and say, for these last have wrought but 1 hour. In other words, they have already worked 1 hour and finished their hour of work in the 12th hour. And thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden here today. But how could the 11th hour workers come then and accuse the 12th hour laborers of inequality? Well, you'd have to go to Daniel chapter 12, and they would have to shed light on this. Daniel chapter 12, and you'd have to go through start with verse 1, "And at that time shall Michael stand up." What time is that? At the closing? At the closing of the 12th hour, "And at that time shall Michael stand up at the beginning of the 12th hour," sometime in the time of the beginning of the 12th hour, "the great prince will stand up for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of the trouble." That's future tense, and we haven't entered into that a complete time of trouble yet, such as never was since there was a nation, even at that same time. "And at that time, thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt." Now here's a mixed resurrection. Some that will not have eternal life, even if given a second chance, they won't have it. And so, Royalist Johnson, apparently, along with all the Gilead Center people that have gone into their graves that didn't come to the judgment of the living, they were cut off because they wouldn't come to the judgment of the living, they have to be resurrected, along with this, those at the cross. And it says, "And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever." It says, "And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life." There's a many of them, "and some to shame and everlasting contempt." So in another place it talks about those that crucified him. And we might go to John chapter 5, verse 28 and 29. "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." Now here is John 5:28 and 29 talking about this next resurrection that Daniel was talking about back there. Sister White says she's going to come up and take up her work in the kingdom in this mixed resurrection. She says so in Testimony, Volume 7, page 17. She says she's going to wrestle a while with others of the Adventists, the faithful, righteous ones in their time, and they're going to rest far in the grave, but they're going to come forth and take up their work anew in the kingdom. So we're going to see Ellen G. White again right here. We're going to meet her. Feet the Hall is going to be resurrected to join her. And we're going to work again. We're going to work with Ellen G. White. And we're going to work with Vici Holliff and those righteous prophets that Yahweh raised up in these last days. We're going to work with them. We're going to work with Jones and Wagner and Taylor G. Barnes, the Adventist, and M. L. Andrews, an Adventist minister. We're going to work with a lot of righteous Adventist ministers that were faithful to the three angels' messages in their time, and they taught all of the present truth that they understood that was given to them, and it was counted unto them for righteousness, and they're covered by the blood of Yeshua. And so, therefore, they're going to all be resurrected, this special resurrection here in the last days, right here in this 12th parabolic hour. So, the ordinance of the Passover is the Lamb. So, who is Yeshua today? He's the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. He's the ordinance of the Passover. It says in Exodus 12, verse 15, 7 days shall you eat unleavened bread. That starts on the 15th day. Even the first day you shall put away leaven out of your houses, for whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from the Israel. And in the first day there shall be an holy convocation, and in the seventh day there shall be an holy convocation unto you. No manner of work shall be done in them, save that which every man must eat, that only may be done of you. And you shall observe the feast of the unleavened bread, for in the selfsame day have I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. He told them to prepare the Passover down in Egypt. What day was that on? It was on the 14th day. But on the 15th day, the day of the unleavened bread, that's when they were thrust out of Egypt at midnight. On the 15th day. Therefore shall you observe this day in your generations by an ordinance forever. So that day, it comes on the 15th day of the first month every year. Only one time of the year you're supposed to observe it. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month at even, you shall eat the unleavened bread. So in the first month, on the 14th day of the month at the even. So when the sun goes down, just as soon as it goes down, on the 14th day, you immediately prepare and start to eat it at the beginning of the first moments of the 15th day, start in the first hour of the 15th day. You shall eat the unleavened bread until the 1 and 20th day of the month at even. 7 days shall there be no leaven found in your houses. For whosoever eateth that which is leavened, even that soul shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he be a stranger or born in the land. You shall eat nothing leavened, and all your habitations shall you eat unleavened bread. Then the Moses called for all the elders of the Israel, and said unto them, draw out, and take you a lamb according unto your families, and kill the Passover. Here you have it, verse 21. Kill the Passover, and the law of Moses says that he was killed at the 10th hour of the daylight of the 14th day in the afternoon. Had 3 hours to go to sundown. Had the 10th, 11th, and 12th hour to go. So at the beginning of the 10th hour, they took the lamb out and they slew the lamb in the 10th parabolic hour. And you shall take a bunch of the hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin. Remember now, that blood of that lamb was a token of the blood of Yeshua. And that's the reason why it was valid. That's the reason why it was counted unto them for righteousness, those that were covered by the token of the blood of Yeshua. That, and none of you shall go out at the door of this house until the morning, until the sun comes up in the morning. So Yahshua will pass through to smite the Egyptians. So what about this? We've been told that they were thrust out at midnight. And yet we're told right here in Exodus 12, in verse 22, that you shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel on the two side posts of the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning. So the children of Israel were not thrust out of Egypt until the first hour of the daylight in the morning. I've always thought that was funny, that Yahweh would cause 2 million people to be thrust out of Egypt at midnight, in the middle of the night. But it did say at the 12th hour, and so the 12th hour on your parabolic time clock, it's the last hour of the night. And as soon as the 12th hour is over, you have the first hour of the daylight. So folks, we have something to talk about, because when it says midnight, it's talking about the 6th hour of the night, not the 12th hour. That's another thing we need to correct and reckon with. Okay, and Exodus 12, verse 23, for the Yahshua will pass through this to smite the Egyptian, and when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, Yahshua will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you. And you shall observe this thing for an ordinance unto thee and to thy sons forever. And it shall come to pass when you become into the land which Yahshua will give you, according as he has promised you, promise that ye shall keep this service. And it shall come to pass when your children shall say unto you, what mean ye by this service, that ye shall say, it is the sacrifice of Yahshua's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses. And the people bowed their head and worshipped. And the children of Israel went away and did as Yahshua had commanded Moses and Aaron, so did they. Now Yahshua is in charge now of this movement, with Moses coming out of Egypt, and he was in charge of the movement with the apostles coming out of the Old Testament of Egypt, and 1,500 years difference in those two movements, the early morning by Moses and the early morning by the Yahshua, because he says he went out in the morning as well to hire laborers into the vineyard in the third parabolic hour, at the end of the third parabolic hour. And it came to pass that at midnight, verse 29, Exodus 12, that the Yahshua smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne unto the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of the cattle. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house, for there was not one dead. And he called for the Moses and Aaron by the night and said, rise up and get you forth from among my people, both ye and the children of Israel, and go serve the Yahshua as ye have said. So that lamb that they slew down in Egypt, so the first Passover was slain to start the movement of the five movements of Israel for the next 3,500 years. The power of the blood of that Passover lamb down in Egypt is what gives them the power and the authority and the ordinance and the law and the statutes and the judgment for the performing of their vows then for the next 3,500 years. So someone in the house of Israel all down through the ages during those 3,500 years from 1500 B.C. up until now, up until the 12th hour, had somebody in the world were performing these vows. During the Dark Ages, it was the martyrs. It was those that had to flee into the rocks and the mountains for their faith, that they continued the light burning in the sanctuary on these holy days and the ordained system of the true worship, and they inherited that from the apostles and their teachings. Also, verse 32, also take your flocks and your herds, as you have said, and be gone, and bless me also. And the Egyptians were urged upon the people, were urgent upon the people that they might send them out of the land in haste, for they said, "We be all dead men. If you all don't get out of our land, we're going to all be dead men." Talking about all the Egyptians. And the people took their dough before it was leavened, their kneading troughs, being bound up in their clothes upon their shoulders. And the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses, and they borrowed of the Egyptians jewels of the silver and jewels of the gold and raiment. And Yahweh gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they lent unto them such things as they required. And they spoiled the Egyptians, and the children of Israel journeyed from Ramses to Sukkoth, about 600,000 on foot, that were men beside children. And a mixed multitude went up also with them, and flocks and herds, even very much cattle. And they baked unleavened cakes of the dough which they brought forth out of Egypt, for it was not leavened, because they were thrust out of Egypt and could not tarry, neither had they prepared for themselves any victuals. Preparation day was on the 14th day, but they did kill the lamb, but they didn't have any other time to prepare any other victuals. I don't understand why not, but that's what it says here. Now the sojourning of the children of Israel who dwelt in Egypt were 430 years. Okay, so apply the antitype today. You start with 1500 AD with Martin Luther, and you bring it all the way down to 1930 and to V.T. Harder and the Shepherd's Rod coming out of the Adventist Church. Okay? And it came to pass, verse 41, extra 12, at the end of that 430 years, even the selfsame day it came to pass, that all the hosts of Yahshua went out from the land of Egypt. So when that 430 years ended in 1930, it ended at the beginning of the Passover for the year 1930. The last day of the biblical year took place in the first month of 1930, according to the creation calendar. It took place on 15 days before the unleavened bread. It would be on the first day of the first month, which would be on a new moon. So let's read this again. And it came to pass at the end of 430 years, even the selfsame day, it came to pass that all the hosts of Yahshua went out from the land of Egypt. So at the end of the 430 years, it's in 1930. So according to heaven's timetable, and they're 100% accurate, that would be on a new moon, 1930. Okay, that'd be the end of the 430 years in the antitype in our day. It's on a new moon, starting the first month of the creation calendar year. That would be Abib or Nisan. So it says in Exodus 12:42, "It is a night to be much observed unto Yahshua for bringing them out from the land of Egypt." So it is a night to be much understood, because they had to stay in their houses all night. They struck the blood on the doorpost in the 12th hour of the 14th day. They slew the lamb in the 10th hour of the 14th day. And they sprinkled the blood of the lamb upon the doorpost. Well, as a matter of fact, when they slew the lamb in the 10th hour, they had to take his blood right then and there. So that's when they sprinkled the door upon the doorpost after they slew the lamb in the 10th hour. They had to take some time to put blood upon all of those doorposts in Egypt. And there was thousands of them. I mean, literally thousands of them. There were hundreds of thousands of them, because there was about 2 million people thrust out of Egypt. So there was a lot of work to be done in those 3 hours, the 10th, 11th, and 12th hour of the 14th day. And so this is that night of the Yahshua to be observed of all the children of Israel and their generation. And the Yahshua said unto Moses, This is the ordinance of the Passover. Okay, the ordinance of the Passover is the Lamb. Yahshua is the ordinance of the Passover of the New Testament that we're in today. But every man's servant that is bought for money, when thou hast circumcised him, then shall he eat thereof. A foreigner and an hired servant shall not eat thereof. In one house shall it be eaten. Thou shalt not carry forth aught of the flesh abroad out of the house, neither shall ye eat or break a bone thereof. And the congregation of Israel shall keep it. And when a stranger shall sojourn with thee, and will keep the Passover unto the Yahshua, let all his males be circumcised, and then let him come near and keep it, and he shall be as one that is born in the land. For no uncircumcised person shall eat thereof. No uncircumcised person. One law shall be unto them that is homeborn, and unto the stranger that sojourns among you. Thus did all the children of Israel, as the Yahshua, the Son, commanded Moses and Aaron, so did they. And it came to pass the selfsame day that Yahshua did bring the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt by their armies. And we know that Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10, chapter 4, I mean, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 4, and I'll read it to you again. It says, "And did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was the Yahshua Messiah." Okay, so he's the one that we have to give the credit to for being assigned by the Father for the joining with Moses and Aaron for the bringing up of the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt at the Passover, at the first Passover for Israel, coming out of Egypt, for the deliverance out of Egypt. So likewise, we have to have an antitypical Passover for the deliverance and the antitype out of Egypt. And so where do you find that recorded? Where do you find the prophecy for that? You'd have to go to Isaiah chapter 11, and you have to just read the whole chapter. It's just 16 verses. "And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse." Okay, so now what's the name of our series? "Hear ye the rod, and he hath appointed," Micah 6:9. "And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse." Yahweh told me tonight that I am to tie the blood of the Lamb of the Old Testament and the blood of the Lamb of the New Testament, of Yeshua, together with "Hear ye the rod, and he hath appointed it." And so here we are. "And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of the Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots, and the spirit of Yahshua shall be at rest upon him, the spirit of the wisdom and understanding." Now this is important, folks. "The spirit of the counsel and might, the spirit of the knowledge and of the fear of the Yahshua, and the fear of the Father, Yahweh," because it says so there in Ecclesiastes, I believe it's 12:13, it says, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter, fear Yahweh and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." Let us look at this. It says that Ecclesiastes chapter 12, it says, verse 13, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter, fear the Yahweh and keep his commandments." And what are his commandments? For sure, the Ten Commandments, because Moses talked about there in Exodus 31:12-18, that Yahweh the Father is the author of the Ten Commandments up in the Mount Sinai, because Moses was there to receive those Ten Commandments on the two tables of stone. And we know that Moses had to, he broke the first table of stone, and he had to hew out another testimonies out of stone and bring it back up into the mount, and Yahweh carved up, wrote upon it the Ten Commandments. Repeat them twice. So we know that the commandments, and it says, "Fear the Yahshua, Yahweh, and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For Yahweh will bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Matthew 10:26. Close with that. Okay, now we go back to Isaiah 11, and we read verse 3, and shall make him of the quick understanding in the fear of the, let's just go with the Father, Yahweh, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears, but with his righteousness shall he judge the poor and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth, and he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And the righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reign. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. And the sow and the cow and the bear shall feed, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. And the sucking child shall play on the horn of the ass, and the wind child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. What is this holy mountain? That's the mountain of the house of Yahweh, Isaiah 2 and Micah 4, as talked about in these last days, where people, many people shall come and say, let us go up to the mountain of the house of Yahweh, and he will teach us in his ways. For we shall walk in his paths and his laws. Let's go read. Let's just go read Isaiah 2 right quick. And let's see what it actually says. It says, the word that Isaiah the son of Amos saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. It shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of Yahweh's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted by the hills, and all nations shall flow under it. And many people shall go and say, come ye, and let us go up unto the mountain of the Yahweh, unto the house of the Elohim of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his path. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of Yahshua from the Jerusalem. And he shall judge among the nations, shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords in the plowshares, and their spears in the pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. O house of Jacob, come ye, and let us walk in the light of the Yahshua. Therefore thou hast forsaken thy people, the house of Jacob, because they be replenished from the east, and are soothsayers like the Philistines, and they shall please themselves, and the children are strangers. Their land also is full of silver and gold, neither is there any end of their treasure. Their land is also full of horses, neither is there any end of their chariots. This is talking about the land of the United States. Their land also is full of idols. That's they worship the work of their own hands, that which their own fingers have made. And the mean man doweth down, and the great man humbleth himself, therefore forgive them not. How many times we see Obama, the president of the United States, from 2009 to 17, how many times do we see him abroad bowing down to those sheikhs of the Arabs and those Arab lands? We saw him bowing to the Pope and bowing to the King of Saudi Arabia. So this, and he was a mean man. He's an evil, mean man. So he says, and the mean man, Barack Obama bows down, and the great man humbleth himself, therefore forgive them not. Enter into the rock and hide thee in the dust for the fear of the Yahshua and for the fear of the Yahweh the Father and for the glory of his majesty, which is Yahshua his son, and the 144,000. The lofty looks of man shall be humble, and the haughtiness of man shall be bowed down, and the Yahshua alone shall be exalted in that day. Okay, so I have a cross reference here of 2 Corinthians 10:4-5. It says 2 Corinthians 10:4-5. Let's go read it. Okay, 2 Corinthians 10:4-5. It says, For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through the Yahweh, for the pulling down of the stronghold, for the casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of the Yahweh, and bringing into captivity every thought unto the obedience of the Yeshua, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience. So having a readiness for the revenge of all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Do ye look on things after the outward appearance? If any man trust himself that he is Yahshua's, let him of himself think this again, that as he is belongs to Yahshua, or is Yahshua's, even so are we Yahshua's. For though I should boast somewhat more of our authority when the Yahshua hath given us, which the Yahshua hath given us for the edification and not for your destruction, I should not be ashamed, that I may not seem as if I would terrify you by letters, for his letters say, they are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak and his speech contemptible. Let such an one think this, that, such as we are in the word by the letters, when we are absent, such we will we be also indeed when we are present. For we do not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that command themselves. But they are measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. Alright, let's go back now to Isaiah 11 and let's continue our study here. We don't have a whole lot of time left. So it says there in Isaiah 11, 5, it says, and righteousness shall be the girdle of the loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. For the wolf also shall dwell with the lion, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid. Now, isn't this amazing? This is all here in the kingdom of heaven here on earth. I sit up in this 12th parable of God, and all the covenant's going to be made with the righteous people, and the covenant's going to be made with the animals as well. And the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them, and the cow and the bear shall feed. The young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. And the sucking child shall play on the hole of the ass, and the wing child shall put his hand on the cock of the trash can. Folks, this is in the kingdom of heaven here on earth. It's come down out of heaven. This is heaven's already come down here in the 12th parable of God. This is what we are to be translated into the kingdom of his dear Son in Colossians 1:13. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Yahshua as the waters cover the sea. And in that day there shall be a root of the Jesse which shall stand for an ensign of the people, and it shall the Gentiles see, and his rest shall be glorious. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Yahshua shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria, and from Egypt, and from Petros, and from Cush, and from Elam, and from Shinar, and from Hamath, and from the islands of the sea. And he shall set up an ensign for the nations, and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel, and gather together the dispersed of the Judah from the four corners of the earth. For the envy also of the Ephraim shall depart, and the adversaries of Judah shall be cut off. Ephraim shall not envy Judah, and Judah shall not vex Ephraim. But they shall fly upon the shoulders of the Philistines toward the west, they shall spoil them of the east together. They shall lay their hand upon Edom and Moab. These are the kinfolks to the Hebrew Israelites, through Lot, the nephew of Abraham, and the children of Ammon shall obey them. And the Yahshua shall utterly destroy the tongue of the Egyptian sea, and with his mighty wind shall he shake his hand over the river, and shall smite in the seven streams, and make men go over dry shod. And this shall be an highway for the remnant of his people, which shall be left from the Assyria, and like as it was unto Israel in the day that he came up out of the land of Egypt. So what did when they came out of the land of Egypt, where did the highway first lead them into? It led them into the wilderness. Then it led them into the promise, and over the Jordan, through the Jordan, for the waters departed at the Jordan. First, it led them through the Red Sea. out of Egypt, through the wilderness of Egypt, came to the Red Sea, parted the sea, and went over into the wilderness of Sinai and the land of Israel. And then after 40 years, crossed the Jordan, went through the Jordan, it was parted, and they went over into the Promised Land. So they had three different events that they finally ended up in the Promised Land. Okay, this looks like this brings us to the close of our study. Our contact, this is the 11th hour call, number 11, click on our audio archive. We're going to close now with a song. Further along. Lifted and God will offer to wander, but it should be us all the days long. While there are others living about us, this is my last day, knowing the wrong. Father, oh, long with no doubt about it. Father, oh, long with understand why. Still up my brother, live in the sunshine. We'll understand it, oh, by and by. When death has come and taken the loved one, it leaves the home so lonely and dim. Then do we wonder why this prosper, living so wicked year after year? Father of long will know about it. Father of long will understand why. Cheer up my brother, live in the sunshine. We'll understand it. Take the cadets and our loving master. A few more days later and rain. All of the road will empty as nothing. As we sleep through the beautiful game, Father, along with no one about it, Father, along will understand why. Cheer up my brother, live in the sunshine. We'll understand it, oh, by and by. When we see Yahshua coming in glory, when he comes from his home in the sky, then we shall meet him in the bright mansion. We'll understand it over and by. Father, along with the world about it. Father, along will know all about it. Father, along will understand why. Hear up my brother, live in the sunshine. We'll understand.